And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day. And for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. All backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Ancient Warfare Answers with me, Murray, your host. And very soon I'm going to be trying to answer a question from Kurt, and we'll get there. But of course, you can ask us a question. You can support us on Patreon / Ancient Warfare Podcast. You can back us at the level of Legionary for $1 a month, Optio for $5 a month, and Centurion for $10 a month. If you pay at the top level, you get a print copy of the magazine. If you pay at the $5 level, you get a digital copy of the magazine. And of course, you can ask us a question, or you can ask us a question anyway. Now, this question is fascinating because I get to refer to another scholar's work in the pages of Ancient Warfare magazine. So that's pretty cool. Now, Kurt asks, why did Alexander the Great not look westwards, starting with Rome, during his conquests? And this is also a question that David's question kind of gets to. I have a question for your Ancient Warfare Answers. Lots of ifs here, but if Alexander's empire had remained whole after his death and the generals had agreed upon a single successor and supported him, and the Macedonian-Roman worlds eventually collided, but sooner rather than later, do you think that the existing Macedonian approach to warfare, primarily cavalry and Sarissa hammer and anvil, would still have been used against the Romans, or would larger and larger phalanxes adopted by the successors be inevitable? So, both dealing with what would have happened if they'd gone west. Now, fascinatingly, what we've got is, of course, there is talk in the sources of Alexander considering moving westwards against the Romans after the conquest of Persia. And of course, Alexander's death stops that from happening. And then the immediate infighting of the successors and the division of Alexander's empire into the successor states stops it from happening. Obviously, there are some attempts. Pyrrhus of Epirus, of course, invading Italy in the early 3rd century BC, giving us the term Pyrrhic victory, is the first of them. And then, of course, the Romans are victorious against the successor states at the Battle of Kynoscephali and then the Battle of Pydna in the 2nd century BC. However, what we have is a theoretical extrapolation by Livy, no less, that what would have happened if Alexander had come west rather than east. And so I'm tracing one of the articles by Mark DeSantis, one of my colleagues, that was in Ancient Warfare 14.5. So 14.5, if you want to look it up. And that basically is an article that goes through in detail Livy's what if, his creation of the genre of alternate history fiction. And he basically says, well, what if Alexander had turned west? Now, getting back to the original question, Alexander wouldn't have gone west to start with. The history of the Greek states and their intersection with the Persian Empire, beginning with the Ionian Revolt in the early 5th century BC, the defeat of the Persian invasions in 490 and then 479 BC, the creation of the Delian League, and the sort of nullification of the Persian influence in the Aegean, and then, of course, the Persian influence on Greek politics at the end of the Peloponnesian War, and then into the King's Peace in the early 4th century BC. All of that really focuses Greek attention on what are we going to do about the Persian problem. And of course, you've got campaigns by the March of the 10,000, then of course, Agesilaus. Then you've got calls by various speakers in Athens, Isocrates probably being the most famous, to call upon firstly the Thebans and then Philip of Macedon to lead Greece against Persia. And that is the mantle that Alexander inherits. So in no way was the Greek focus for 200 years anything but eastwards. And so there never would have been a point where they would have gone, hey, let's go to Italy. And of course, Rome at this point in time, parallel histories, is not the important empire that it became. And so one of the issues with the comparison is that the Rome that we compare Alexander to is not the Rome Alexander would have faced. It was a single city state in the 330s or even the 320s BC, and not dealing with the Roman Empire of later. It's still fighting its you know, local enemies. It's beaten the Etruscans, absolutely. It's defeated the Gallic invasion of 390 BC, but it still is not an empire even of the Italian peninsula. It's got some allied city-states around it, but it's still fighting the Sabines. It's still fighting, Italian allies. Magna Graeca, southern Italy and Sicily, is still Greek. So chances are that Alexander never would have considered moving against them. So in that regard, you wouldn't have got Alexander going west. And of course, the problem we've got with our sources of Alexander is they're all much, much later. They're, you know, our best sources, Arrian, Plutarch, Justin's abbreviation of the Philippic history of Pompeius Trogus, and they're all writing in the Roman Empire. So, of course, they're going to talk about a comparison between Alexander and Rome. Livy is also writing in the Roman era. Diodorus is writing in the Roman era. So they're all writing in the Roman period. And so they, of course, want to see Alexander coming against them. And of course, they all put out that Rome would have won, which I don't think it would have. But anyway, and in that, I disagree with Mr. DeSantis, so that's okay. Now, the issue is, of course, that if it was true that when Alexander came back to Babylon, having gone into Italy and been turned back by the mutiny, and so at the time of his death, he would have gone, right, let's go and invade Italy, which I don't think is likely. There are vast tracts of land left in the east that he could have turned his attention to. He would have used the same tactics that he had used successfully in his 10 years of undefeated warfare. And I don't think that the Roman armies and even the Italian armies, even if there was a coalition against him, would have stood up to him. He would have destroyed one city, raised it to the ground, and shown the others, this is what will happen if you stand against me. And they all would have come over to him, just as happened in the Levant. He would have been welcomed as a conqueror. He would have used them and brought them to his side. Unlike later people who defeat Rome, whether it be Pyrrhus or whether it be Hannibal, Alexander knew how to take cities and he knew how to be determined. So I think Rome would have crumbled against Alexander if he had intended coming against them, which I don't think he ever did. The successes is a different issue, of course, because it's a lot more what-ifs. I don't think that the successors were ever going to allow a single successor to take power. That's one of the, you know, one of the great tragedies of the Alexander's empire is how short-lived it is. And none of them were ever secure enough to be able to turn their attention to the West without having to worry about what was happening back home or further east against their contemporary enemies, the other successors. So that really causes issues, and they tend to focus in upon one each other. Pyrrhus of Epirus is a bit of an exception, but he's invited in by the Tarantines in the first place. And so I think if all those had have happened, and if it had have happened quickly, and we've talked about it in other ancient warfare answers, would the successor generals have been able to command Alexander's army in the way Alexander commanded it? And I think the issue is what history tells us. No, they didn't. They couldn't. They didn't understand what Alexander did. They didn't understand why Alexander was so successful, because of his use of the phalanx as an anchor and an anvil, and then creating a weakness in your enemy's left wing, and then using your cavalry as a hammer to charge through that gap and exploit it. That's not something we find in the successor generals. It's all about personal valor and personal bravery, which isn't, I mean, Alexander seems reckless, but I think he was actually far more calculated. So I think the issue then is that if they had come against the Romans, even intact, what you're dealing with is command that was not Alexander. And I think, again, you would need a coalition of Italian cities to stand up against that invading army if it was the entire Macedonian army of Alexander coming against them. But I think it was a far more up-in-the-air result as to who would win in that battle, because if it was a coalition of Italian cities against the Macedonians, it may well have ended in a stalemate or an Italian victory. If the city-states of the Italians didn't form a coalition, I think, again, probably the Macedonians would have been successful because they had the knowledge and the expertise to be able to besiege cities. And if you've only got one or two cities coming against them, they're going to create allies amongst the other Italians to get rid of your common enemy. And so I think they would have been victorious if they'd been able to create allies in the Italian peninsula against Rome, for instance. So, you know, they're all what-ifs, fascinating. But I think if Alexander had come west, he would have won. If the immediate successors hadn't have started infighting, less able to be called. But if Rome stood alone, then again, I would have put a Macedonian victory. If Rome formed a coalition with the Italian city-states, then 50-50. I hope that answers your question. We'll see you again soon on another episode of Ancient Warfare Answers.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.